As many of you are aware, yesterday, May 13th, began the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of the appearances of Mary to three shepherd children in Fatima, Portugal, thus earning her the title, giving her the title, Our Lady of Fatima. These shepherd children, Francisco and Jacinta Marto, 9 and 11 years old, their cousin Lucia dos Santos, 13 years old, were simply out minding sheep one afternoon when suddenly Mary appeared with a message for them that would rock the entire world. How is it that these young children, not literate, couldn't read, couldn't write, know some of the things that they were told had not this come from a supernatural source? They were warned of the sufferings that were going to come upon Europe because of its abandonment of God. They knew that Europe was in the throes of the First World War, but that a second one was going to come if people's lives would not change. There was political upheaval and turmoil in Portugal and around Europe. In Portugal itself, the royalty had been dismantled, and of course there was religious persecution of the church in the country itself. This was going to happen furthermore in Spain and other countries in Western Europe. But then Mary also asked them to pray for the conversion of Russia, a country they had no idea about, or any understanding of, we could say. Why pray for Russia? Not even the European continent knew that soon after this miracle of Mary's appearance, Russia itself would cast down their own royal government and begin a persecution not of the church in Russia, but begin to invade other countries around the world, infiltrating it with this very disgusting philosophy that reduced human being to nothing but a slave of the state. Communism was going to infect the world. She asked the children to pray for the conversion of Russia, that her errors would not be spread. Well, sadly, it did spread and caused untold pain and misery to thousands upon thousands of people. It's even come to our own shores in America. It infects our government, it affects our country, our area, and maybe even our families. Communism is the political term, but there's the philosophy behind it that spurs communism on, and that's what's infected people. And it's basically this, that there is no God. There is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there's no spiritual reality, none of that exists. Therefore, we are here to live for ourselves in this world, and this world only. Sounds good to a lot of people, but sadly it's not the case. That's error number one of Russia, atheism, the denial of any spiritual reality. Second, it's the tyranny of materialism, that this world and this world alone is what matters. There's a denial of human dignity and human rights that goes along with that as science begins to overpower everything. There's a denial of human dignity, a denial of human rights. As I said, human beings exist only for the service of the collective state. Imagine, if you would, of us having to live in an erroneous idea of a classless society, that whatever income you have is not just for you, but for everybody. You don't get to choose what job you want. You choose what you work as the government tells you to work. We all know about the whole erroneous idea of gender equality, not the true equality of man and woman before God, but the acceptance of every kind of perversion, denial of the rights of the family, denial of self-determination, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no ability to choose what is best for oneself or one's family according to one's conscience. It's that kind of a thing. Along with that, we also have the legalization of abortion. The first time it ever happened was in communist Russia. The absolute degradation that says that human life is quite simply worth nothing. If you look at extreme left-wing liberalism, you get the idea. But these ideas usher in nothing else but hell. Ask anybody who lived under a communist regime and they'll tell you. Mary's message was pray. Offer prayer, offer sacrifices. Put your face back toward Christ. Be reoriented toward Christ. At the resurrection, Mary Magdalene was at the tomb of Jesus looking for the body, and the angel appeared to her asking, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" We can paraphrase that with Christ asking us, why is it that we try to seek life in death? People try it all the time. We think that we can find fulfillment, we think we can find life, we think we can find happiness and joy in sin or only in created things. And we wonder why it is that so many people are abusing drugs or trying to medicate themselves with all kinds of pleasures or simply just give up and commit suicide or have to keep seeing counselor after counselor after counselor, finding no peace. It's quite simple. We are made for Christ. God made us for himself, and our hearts will be restless until they rest in him. There is no life in death, that is, the death of sin. There is only life in the one who is the author of life, and that, of course, is Christ. Which is why Jesus tells us to worship God and to worship God alone, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We know that we live according to the Spirit that Jesus gave us by witnessing to Christ. That is, do our lives reflect the life of Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions? If you don't see it in the life of Christ, then why do we try to incorporate it into our own lives? If we see it in the life of Christ, why didn't we not aspire to live the full Christian life? The message of Easter is simple. Christ is risen. He is alive. And those of us who are baptized are alive in Christ. He has burst open the gates of death and of hell, and he has let the dead go free. He has renewed us. He is renewing the earth through us, the members of his church, all of us born again in baptism, and wants to make this world blossom afresh with men and women brought back to life through grace. It's living in holiness and grace. St. Peter told us so beautifully in the second reading, you, to all of us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. Not a race as in coming from a particular country or have a particular ethnicity about us, but a race of believers, not physically, but spiritually. All of us as brothers and sisters in Christ, marked by the charism of the Holy Spirit, marked forever as Christians, united with Christ in his great kingdom, the church, the body of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. We are made one by the Lord Jesus. We share in his priesthood through our baptism. We share in his sacrifice on the cross by participating at Mass and receiving his body and blood. What more can God ask of us than simply to be the people he made us to be? A holy nation, offering a sacrifice of prayer, of penance, and self-denial, and self-control, which you don't hear much of nowadays, resisting temptation and fleeing from sin, but always running toward Christ. Running toward Christ and following his way, believing and proclaiming his truth, living fully the Christian life of charity and virtue. Love Christ. Love God, love neighbor, do good. Do that here. And while doing so, anticipate the fullness of living forever in the presence of God, even beyond death. That's a very important question. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not there. He's not there. He has been raised. And so have we. With Christ. Go then, he tells us. Live lives of service. Do good for one another. Tend to each other's needs. Continue to live and to teach all that I have commanded you, Jesus taught us. Live everything I taught you by my life. Prove that the Spirit within you is holy as you continue to witness your faith in Christ. The world is ours, we know that. And we think there's all kinds of freedom, opportunity, etc., awaiting us. There's also evil awaiting us. Evil awaits us with a smile, promising everything, delivering nothing. But Jesus says, amen, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater works than these. Let yourselves, St. Peter says, be built into a spiritual house. Be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ. Be men and women of good repute, filled with wisdom and the Spirit of Christ. People of God, beyond reproach, announcing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His own wonderful light.